From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Tens of thousands of anti-government protesters reacted with anger and disbelief today to the defiant speech of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports from Cairo. Protesters are calling for another mass demonstration tomorrow.
With shouts of get out and tomorrow, tomorrow, protesters said President Mubarak's speech fell far short of demands he resign immediately. Mubarak proposed constitutional changes to free up the political process and transferred some powers to his vice president. But he said he's, quote, adamant to continue to shoulder my responsibility until free and fair elections in September. Protester Hala Rasmi said she was stunned and hoped Friday's demonstration will be the largest yet.
Maybe he's blind, he's deaf. Tomorrow will be the last night for him, will be the last day for him. Out.
After Mubarak's speech, Vice President Omar Suleiman went on TV and again blamed the revolt on foreign interference, called on demonstrators to go home and get back to work, and he ominously warned protesters of the, quote, dangers surrounding you. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Cairo.
As for a reaction from official circles to remarks, some of the details of what the Egyptian leader said are still being sorted out. Speaking on NPR's All Things Considered today, Egypt's ambassador to the U.S., Shamri Shukri, said the move to transfer authority to the vice president delineates clear lines of authority in Egypt.
He has declared very categorically, I have the text in black and white in front of me, that he is transferring the authorities of the office of the president to Vice President Suleiman.
Though what that means remains a subject of some confusion to Western observers. Developments leave some to wonder whether Mubarak and the military are united or at odds over the next steps to take there. The White House reacted fairly quickly to Mubarak's remarks, saying the Egyptian government has yet to put forward a credible, concrete, and unequivocal path to democracy. President Obama also said the Egyptian people have been told there was a transition of authority, but it is not yet clear this transition is immediate, meaningful, or sufficient. U.S. government is offering another signal that things could pick up this year. NPR's Giles Snyder reports the number of people seeking jobless benefits fell last week.
The Labor Department says new claims dropped by 36,000 last week to a seasonally adjusted 383,000. Standard & Poor's chief economist David Weiss says that's significant.
Two out of the last 4 weeks, we've been below 400,000. So it's starting to look a little bit like a trend. And the four-week average is down at 415,000. So that's getting pretty close to normal levels.
The weekly claims data may add to other indicators that point to a gain in momentum in the labor market, but economists say applications need to be consistently below 375,000 to affect the unemployment rate. And some analysts warn that severe weather could have contributed to last week's drop by preventing people from filing claims. Giles Snyder, NPR News, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 10 points. The Nasdaq was up a point. You're listening to NPR. The nation's budget shortfall grew by an additional $50 billion in January. The U.S. Treasury Department announcing today that even with the deficit down for the first 4 months of the current budget year from the prior fiscal year, the government's pool of red ink is likely to be the biggest in history. Year to date, the deficit is at $419 billion. The Congressional Budget Office is projecting for the year the deficit could hit a record $1.5 trillion. The Senate's second-ranking Republican says he will not run for re-election, bringing the total number of senators announcing they'll retire next year to 5. From member station KGZZ, Peter O'Dowd reports.
The 68-year-old lawmaker began his Senate career in 1994. Since then, he's quietly positioned himself as a behind-the-scenes leader in Washington, a contrast to his more visible colleague from Arizona, John McCain. But on Thursday, Kyle said his career as an elected official will come to a close.
I think it's time for me to have an opportunity to do something else, an opportunity to give others a chance. To have a little more flexible time schedule.
Kyle's seat will likely stay in Republican control, though Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords was considered a strong Democratic candidate in 2012 before she was shot last month. For NPR News, I'm Peter O'Dowd in Phoenix.
Ruling by the California Supreme Court will prohibit merchants in that state from asking credit card customers for their zip codes. The high court ruled unanimously today that requesting customers provide that information violates the state's long-standing law aimed at protecting the privacy of credit card users. The decision came in a lawsuit filed against Williams-Sonoma. A woman sued the company in 2008, alleging the retailer violated the state's credit card law and her privacy. The ruling overturns a lower appeals court ruling. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News, in Washington.